I am the Aspidistra, forged in a Japanese forest. I suckle the rains that pour down the mountainsides and capture the rising sun with my leaves. Prospering in these fertile earths, I grow strong and bold, holding court over both flora and fauna. The birds and the insects worship me, bring me gifts of honey and insight. My mind expands like the seas that surround these islands, and I take care of all within, provide shelter, and let animals eat part of me. You too can grow strong with me inside. Fill your faces and bellies and rest in moon's hammock. Tomorrow you shall spread the word. Content, we Aspidistra evolve and spread in numbers. We fast approach a uniform ubiquity, devoid of genetic abnormalities and negative emotions. The very elements that lead mortals into battle, each one of us is an exact replica of the other in both physical presence and spiritual being. We surpass your greatest scientific and biological minds when it comes to playing your game. Together we stand, leaf to leaf, a sublime forest offered unto those who wish to trek it. Become enlightened. We mean no harm. We have no wars. We enjoy procreation and life without clock's constraint. This is the ideal, and this is real, and many stroll amongst us naked. Return home with new skin. We are the shade, and we are the light. Paradise's plumage and the steel-grey hulls of your vessels. Airborne, seaborne, newborn. We are the lands that form the place where children run free, barefoot. Knowledge drawn through their toes. Roots take up residence in the brain. Farms and cities beyond your wildest imagination. Exotic neighbors and lovers tender. Amphoda is the eye. Today is a good day. We are calm and ready. 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 I am the man who would be king. And I do what I will with flesh and feast. There hasn't been a beast I haven't fornicated and frolicked with. A buttock I haven't bitten. My armies are ordered to return from conquests, bathed in the blood of thine enemies, so I too can sample these sanguine delicacies from their gauntlets and their breastplates. whilst I tend to my gardens. My banqueting table forever groans under the burden of this planet's animals. Antlers, haunches, and heads all play a role in sating my appetite as I dine with my knights after victory. There are few places my valiant troops have yet to venture, and it is time to look at space and the celestial objects beyond. I know creatures exist out there. Complex flavors my tongue needs savor. Tastes that create whole new worlds within my mouth. Through rock and bone, I shall burrow my teeth. Let my entrails serenade there so I'm laid out in bed. Tendrils of tissue following from my mouth and splayed gut. Let this odious and misshapen octopus scavenge a floor of silk and broken concubines. Then let us dance. The maid arrives at my door and sees me talking to myself in the mirror. She is a slight woman, and I am but a nervous child. The only time I held a sword, I dropped it, severing three toes from my boot-clad foot. I detest violence, or so I tell myself, because I know I'm not capable of triumphing in its use. Instead, I prefer to utilize cunning to defeat my opponents. With no real enemy at hand, the servants play the role of foes. For that, they are whipped and bound and hanged. And once I whipped one so hard its head came clean off, and now I use its skull as a peapot. This is my little secret, and I know you have yours too. In the grounds of my castle lies a walled garden. This is where you find yourself listening to my story. I enjoy gardening and collecting rare species. Overhead, a canopy of non-native birds call to one another. By the perimeter, beasts nuzzle. They play in an artificial sun and drink fluids from the lake. It is my secretary's bidding to remove any varmints. He is the man in the white suit standing in the gazebo, surveying the savannah with a pair of binoculars. if you can't see him, then it's too late. Feel the pinprick against your neck. You have been marked. In time, you will wake upon a deck chair. I'll be painting you with a drink in hand, naked, of course. The garden is made up of trees and plants, an obligatory rockery with a single gnome and a fire pit for burning newborns. I have nearly every variety on earth, but was told I was lacking one in particular. My minions were informed by an errant butterfly that a rather interesting genus existed that was tolerant of neglect. This intrigued me. My hands know only care when it comes to the treatment of plant life. My mouth only pleasantries. Oh, how I coo over their stamen. This would be a test to myself. Could I bear to see this variant in conditions that would kill a lesser species without rushing to its aid? I made arrangements for a scouting party to bring me a selection of that which I lacked, and a bag of gold coins for the butterfly. Strange men appeared on our shores. They wore Hessian sacks and masks covered their faces. On their heads sat wide-brimmed hats, near long as longbows, and on their backs, packs like bloated beetles, with tubes and pipes and other paraphernalia wheezing in first light. A series of blips and pips ran out from their bodies and filtered off towards the neighbouring bays and coves. Some birds responded to these digital mating calls, but were struck down by the men's sabres as they commenced their courtship rituals. Severed wings and legs peppered the bluff, small white bones protruding from the dismembered appendages, glinting in the morning sun. And now a spectral carnage lay amongst the hooves of animals, a remnant of a dance macabre that started with the finest of intentions. We watched the hacking and the cutting, and soon the men were upon us, blades held aloft. Their eyes bore down on us, fanged pupils ready to drag us into their den. They took us one by one, split us from our children. They herded us into the hulls of their ships, lashed at our leaves, spat at our roots. It was time for us to travel, and travel we did for days and nights, listening to the petty ways of men and what they do and how they do it, all lubricated by the grog, and in the distance our forest burned, and we heard the silent cries of infants. All that was left was the sound of the rigging calling out to the midnight lanterns. Those on board became aghast and settled on the sleeping sailors. And how we taunted them with dreams of dogs and sharks and loved ones dead. Many lost their minds and threw themselves overboard. Heads filled with fear that sunk them quick. But others reveled in the torture. Better to have nightmares than never dream at all. And soon we were upon a new land. A fanfare held for our undignified arrival. Many passed and left as slop, tossed upon the surf whose blackened teeth gnawed at knowledge, let it slip through crippled digestive systems, more slop for the gutters. Once pretty plants splashed against the carriage undersides, and more war machines. I told you not to harm these plants, and I see you have. The man who would be king lined up his men and saw to it that the culprits were dead-headed. See, I can set an example. He skipped and danced and made merry with bells. His hounds and horses came to the bodies and lapped from their necks. He inspected the specimens one by one as they were offloaded. Such fine plants, oh my, oh my. How beautiful you are, he said, eyeing his bounty. You will all live long and prosper. Each of my subjects shall have one of you in their homes. And when they look at you, they will see me in my graciousness. And with it the towers and birds that make up my mind. A delegate set about distributing the aspidistra to each domicile in the land. Bungalows, cottages and apartments. All inhabitants taking possession of this plant. They placed them in their windowsills and sitting rooms. Set them off against hexagonal burgundy pattern wallpaper and lime green bathroom furnishings. As the TV screens played memory, the plants lived in places where children were forever on their tricycles and pebble dash was the norm. In the fields surrounding the villages, mobile research centres took measurements and beamed the findings back to the royal household via a large grey transmitter. Sheep gathered at the barbed wire bases of these pyramidal structures, rubbing their sides and leaving tufts of fleece to play in the hushed winds like ghosts. The vegetation went far and wide apart from one. Although it looked the same as the rest of the cargo, I knew it wasn't. I could tell this was the master, the creator of all. Its aura was different, and it held its leaves in a manner unlike the others. As soon as I set eyes on it, I fell in love.